Always Holding a Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, John Curcio, Jazam Maja, Chris Fuchs, John Lloyd, Atif Sheik, Justin Maitner, Gavante Chillis, Molly Ficarella, Thomas Navin, Mike Franz, Joe Mikendo, Trayvon Brady, Dylan D'Antonio, Steve Rogers, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Mindard, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Becca Zeifel, Nicholas Casso, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Fansler, Darren Kirsch, T. Hamill, Jared Gibbs, Braden Arnold, and Erica Flynn. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.
I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Holding a Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show, the wrap from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined by...
Lance Laster.
That's right. Lance and I are going to do the next couple of episodes for Season 5, Mortal and Hidden. These episodes, I guess, you know, they're both very memorable to us for various reasons. I guess a lot of quotable lines. These were the first couple episodes, obviously after the season premiere arrival, that we were called roommates.
That's correct.
We were in the dorm watching Smallville. So I guess that's why these might have a more special place in our heart than others, at least being watching them together and whatnot.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the logic of why
basically
doing these.
Yeah, because this is the beginning of it's also the beginning of the school year. Everything's fresh and new.
Fresh episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Still the WB for one last year.
Yeah, shout out to you, Nick. Know you're listening.
So beginning of Season 5, you know, this is the second volume of the show. 4 is a little different than 1 through 3, but they all fit the same volume.
Oh, and being high school?
Well, yeah, the high school years, the college dropout years, 5 through 7, and the Daily Planet Metropolis years, 8 through 10. So interesting for this one, Mortal picks up, you know, a few weeks after Arrival.
Okay.
Because if you think back at the season premieres, right, Vortex was right immediately after Tempest.
Yes.
Right? A true cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
But Exile was 3 months after Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
And Crusade was 3 months after Covenant. And Arrival was directly after Commencement. So we're kind of back to that cliffhanger thing. Not the whole 3 months later. But now, since they don't, they're not going back to high school immediately. It's not like Heat where it's like, okay, we just fast forwarded 3 months.
Yeah.
Like, whoa. You know, this is a gradual kind of get up to speed, and everybody's like first day of college is in like, you know, the third or fourth episode or so.
Yeah. So, I mean, college does start a little later than high school, as we know.
That's true. That was a mind-blowing thing, you know, especially being in marching band in high school for me anyway.
Yeah.
It was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I get 3 months off, not one in month and 3 weeks or something between marching band and starting and all that good stuff. So college breaks, if you guys are still in college, enjoy it.
Yes, please do.
So
anyway, you don't know how good you have it.
I will go on a rant about that probably in our next episode, and it's more appropriate.
Likely.
Because that's when Chloe, if she's off to her first day at college at 5 a.m. apparently, but we'll talk about it next time. But my point being, I like how they can ease into the new season instead of like a hard, okay, now we're back to business as usual, back until I'm writing the torch and I'm and all that stuff. And so there's
good point.
It's a new page has been turned in this book. Speaking of book.
Okay.
Look at that segue. Smallville. The official companion, Season 5.
And where was that book sold?
Wherever books are sold, actually, by our friend Craig Brand from Krypton site. Todd Slafkin, one of the writers, had this to say about Mortal, quote, "There was finally an episode where he didn't have to tell a secret, and that was when it was magical, when he could be open. They, him and Lana, could really spend time with each other without any hidden agendas." So, and that's true, and
any hidden agendas?
Hidden, that's next week.
I know.
Any mortal agendas. So, now, Kristen Couric, though, I like her quote here in The Companion, because you think about this, right? You think about all the times that Clark is saved her and all the questions she has, like, okay, let's start with the tornado, right? Whenever he's like, I want to be honest with you. He's like, oh, we'll get to that. Other episodes, there's like under a kryptonite, he's messing around with it, right?
Yeah.
So Kristen Kreka, this is saying in the companion quote, the thing is, he can never tell Lana the truth unless he's willing to say, this is why I wasn't truthful to you for all these years. This is what is going on in my life, and this is my history. There's always going to be this secrecy, and in any relationship, the most important thing is to be honest and truthful and share things with the person that your partner's with. If Clark can't do that, well, Lana's not stupid. She has a connection with him. She can see there are things that he isn't sharing with her, and that will always make her sad. So that's a good point, because it's like, okay, we're cool now, but remember all that stuff that I was asking you about for years? Can we talk about that? Like, were you really in the tornado with me? You know, that kind of. So and they're in the honeymoon phase right now. We see that through the episode, but and of course things devolve with the season. Goes right,
of course,
but eventually he was gonna have to address that, right?
Yeah, at some point you gotta put up or shut up, or you know, as we like to joke about, you gotta DTR.
But they are DTR, they're finally in a relationship, and I thought about this, should I, and now would be the time,
okay,
the answer's probably gonna be no, but we'll talk about it. Should I have a counter of like Klana, like actually in a relationship? Because think about it, right? You think Smallville's all about Clark and Lana, right? If you think about this,
okay,
they're actually in a relationship up to now, in Calling,
okay,
Exodus,
yeah.
Do we count? I don't count Exiler Phoenix because he literally drove out of her life.
Yeah, I mean,
they were
on a break, maybe.
We were on a break, but they were on. On a break. They were on a date in Red.
Yes.
And they were going to have a date in Rush.
Okay.
And he had a non-date in Cool, the best non-date I've ever had.
Uh-huh.
Which really spoke to me as a teenager, let me tell you.
Same. hell, it speaks to me as an adult.
I'm not going to make a counter of it, but I do. And then it's like, you know, spoilers, but like half of season 5 and like, most of season 7.
Yeah.
And then like a third of season 8. I mean, if you really, maybe at the end of the day, I'll do some math, but I'm not going to do a counter. Okay. I just want to point out, like, now is the first, because they got together like in the last scene.
Yes.
Basically of the last episode. Now is the only sustained period of time to this point on the show where they're going to be in a relationship. Worth noting, I think.
Interesting.
So, anyway, with that being said, let's get into it. Mortal.
You've been in level 3.
Oh, yeah, I had a real nice day. Gourmet food, satellite TV, and a nifty little green cocktail shot in my neck 3 times a day.
You're experimenting on you?
This is trying to amp up what me and the Wanda twins could already do. And it worked. Then one morning, I woke up in Belle Reve. No more satellite TV, no more green cocktails.
They got you hooked and then cut you off.
Look, we all got across the bear, kid, and this is yours. You're going to break into level 3. You're going to get me that serum. Otherwise, you're going to be playing patty cake all by your lonesome.
What do you need me for? I've seen what you can do. Why not just go in there and get it yourself?
They got all kinds of defense systems to keep people like me out. But if the stories I hear about you and Belle Reve are true, you shouldn't have any problem.
Mortal is the second episode of Smallville's 5th season. It aired on October 6th, 2005. It was written by Stephen S. DeKnight and directed by Terrence O'Hara. And how do we start this episode, Lance?
We are in Belle Reve.
what is it, Raish or Ra's al Ghul? What is
it? I know, right? We're there, and we get to see a zombified Lyle. And Lex is with a scientist, giving her the whole spiel of, he's like, I want him under 24-hour surveillance.
This is an interesting setup here because, first of all, I'm going to guess that all the exterior shots is stock footage from, you know, Asylum or you know, other episodes we've already seen Belle Reve. And they call it Belle Reve in here,
they
don't
do.
They? But I've always called it Belle Reve.
Same.
Belle Reeves.
Yeah.
So, actually, this is really an interesting parallel to Shattered and Asylum, especially Shattered. The last scene in Shattered with the Johnny Cash song.
Absolutely.
Hurt. Iconic moment in Smallville history. And when Lex is the one in the cell in a straight jacket, and Lionel's the one outside the glass, and he kind of reaches up and touches it. Lex is the same thing here.
Yes.
Right?
It's a nice little callback.
It is a callback, and it's very interesting to see how the power dynamics have shifted here as well. Mm-hmm. And in the companion, John Glover had this to say about wearing the contacts for these scenes when he's in this Kryptonian standby mode, as I'm going to call it. He said, quote, It was like I was losing my vision. I could only see shapes, and it was a very claustrophobic feeling. It wasn't that it was painful. It was just psychologically a very uncomfortable feeling, dealing with things like that. I could make out shapes and hear people, but I couldn't see anybody. So, you know, and as he said in the prologue to the book, which you mentioned in our last episode on Arrival, it kind of helped his performance in these episodes because he's supposed to be kind of like out of it and weird. And, but, you know, Lex checking in on Lionel because we had no, like, Lex finds Lionel in the state in the last episode, right?
Correct.
So this was, you know, the way to catch us up to speed on that. And then we have a prisoner transfer from cell block 1138. At Belle Reeves. I'm going to start calling Belle Reeves.
Yeah.
But it's some, you know, obviously some meteor freaks, right?
Yes.
Who we've never seen before.
Correct.
To me, revisiting it, watching it, I'm like, oh, these guys are the weak part of the episode. But they do get better. They're off to kind of a bad start because they seem like these cliche villains. You know, you got like the tough guy. Blah, blah, blah,
oh, it's very run of the mill.
This guy could be a bad guy. Tommy Lee is his name. Tommy Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like this guy could be a bad guy on Walker, Texas Ranger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The way he
or pretty much off. Anything that's on CBS.
Yeah. All Rise on CBS. Brad and Todd Mann play these twins. You know
okay.
I mean? The Wonder,
the Wonder twins,
as they are called, because Smallville's like, we're never going to get to the Wonder Twins.
Never.
We'll just throw that out there. Just like, we're never going to get to the Fortress of Solitude. Let's just throw out that terminology, right? And yet, here we are, right? But little do they know.
Here we are.
There we are. I think it would have been a cool opportunity to revisit some older freaks of the week, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the problem there is they would have known for a fact that Clark had powers.
Correct.
And these guys are like, oh, the stories I hear about you were
changed.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, at this point, like, you know, they're just kind of like been built up on the story of Clark Kent, mm-hmm. right? And they don't know, and like, that's their main motivation when they escape, but basically, like, what happens in this scene. You know, Lex kind of has a little run-in with Tommy.
Yeah, so it seems like if you're not, this is why Stephen S. DeKnight, right? One of Smallville's best writers.
Yeah.
Right? Very smart. Lots of great setups in this episode that you don't realize are setups until later.
Mm-hmm.
The Chekhov's guns, right? If you're not familiar with that terminology, I'm sure I've said it before on the podcast. Just go look it up online. Google is your friend.
Yes.
But you know, you don't realize it doesn't seem contrived because it seems like natural.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, they have a run in. You know, they have all these like
power dampening.
Like, where do these come from?
I have no idea. Yeah, I don't know how they develop them or anything. But it's just like, oh yeah, let's just get power dampening cuffs.
Yeah.
It's like you can just go out and get them wholesale.
Yeah, like it's like it's a thing in all these shows. Like power dampening collars.
Yeah.
They do it on Heroes.
Yes, they
right?
do.
That's what we know. It's for contractually obligated to pitch in every episode.
Always held on to it.
Always on Heroes. So Lex bumps into this guy, and we see like it go. His handcuffs go from red to green or something, and then he's, you know, free basically. So Lex goes about his business in the hallway, and the guards are, "Oh, sorry, Mr. Luther." And
yeah,
he walks out, and then this guy, he's kind of like Pyro with fire. He can't generate electricity; he can take it from sources that are already there.
He's more like Black Lightning.
Oh, that's true, because his daughter generates the lightning.
That is
correct. This is White Lightning. That's what we're going to... We got a name for this guy.
We got to name him.
I don't have to call him Tommy Lee for this episode. White Lightning it is. So White Lightning and the Wonder Twins. Very good. He uses his powers, and they bust out of Belle Reeves, which I'm going to keep calling it forever now, I guess. It's my thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's jailbreak. And it's like, we got to get to Smallville. Like, oh! That's where the show's set. So anyway, that sets us up. They have since fixed Kristen Kirk's name in the opening credits.
Thank God for that.
It's like how insulting.
Like,
it's like Tom Welling with one L or something, right?
Yeah, it's like she's the one of the stars of the show. Like, you headline with her and Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum. That should never happen.
You know, if you hadn't heard last week's episode, when they first aired Arrival in season 5, they had their brand new opening credits, and Kristen Kirk's name was spelled E-N. Instead of Ian, and that's how she spells her name. They fixed it for the second episode, all repeat viewings of Arrival, and of course all the home video stuff. But the internet never forgets, and there's screen caps, and we have them on our social media.
Yep.
So anyway, we come back to a barn raising.
Having a good old-fashioned barn raising.
Yeah, Smallville living up to its small-town name. You know, it's you know, we joke about it, but it's nice to see the town working together to come together after this tragedy, which is the second meteor shower.
Yes.
Because we never really got to see the aftermath of the first meteor shower.
No.
So, you know, it's Jonathan and Clark and, you know, who knows who all these other people
are. All the town folk.
All these people you never see before and never see again. I think that they use the same extras for, like, adults working on a farm that they use for a high school dance.
Yeah.
You get the gist of it, right? Because you see, you know, Jonathan's kind of leading everybody. All right, everybody pull, moving to this side. And Clark's, like, doing the whole thing. He's sweating and he's working hard. And you're like, oh, that's right. He's mortal, right?
Yeah.
So,
because he's only human after all.
What is that from?
It's a song.
What? Who sings it?
I can't remember. It's been in commercials.
Only Human on Fox.
Yeah, I know.
Carl Urban. another show canceled after one season by the Fox Network. So anyway, he's working on this 2x4.
Yeah.
And he has a hammer. I'm like, all right, well, he's going to obviously hit his thumb with this hammer. This is like, these are the things you do when a superpowered person no longer has powers. They have to hurt themselves in mundane ways. So Chloe comes up to him, and this is Allison Mack's got a new look, and dare I say she's never looked better on the show.
That is correct.
They finally sell into a very complimentary and attractive look for Chloe. Because for some reason, for the last 2 years, they just couldn't figure it out.
Either they couldn't figure it out, or they didn't want to figure it out.
So now, yeah, they're like, well, Clark doesn't like this girl. Let's try to find a way to make her hair as unappealing as possible. Just stupid things they would do. Stupid fashion choices. Like, and you know, hey, she was going through a phase, you know, 16, 17. I'm going to try some stuff out. But she's settled into her womanhood now. And this is how she's going to look for the rest of the season and for the rest of the series, really, without much change.
Look doesn't really change much after this.
She got the bob going, the Lois Lane bob haircut she's got going for. But so she comes up to Clark, and you see where she's coming from. She's like, I just found out my best friend is superpowered, and now he's not superpowered anymore. What's up?
Yeah, that's an interesting position for her to be in. But it's cool that they're having this conversation. Also, because like to kind of give the audience catch us up to speed with what's going down. So a little bit of exposition there in their conversation.
Yeah, and in the companion, Todd Slavkin says this about Chloe finding out the secret. He said, quote, after Pete Ross left, Clark was in a vacuum in terms of a peer who he could talk to about his powers. Chloe is a great character Clark can bounce off of. And that's really the backbone of this episode, is their teen
together.
And that sets up really...
It's a good partnership. Like, it's on full display in this episode. It's one of the best... showcases of that throughout the entire series. There's no drama in it. It's just like the two of them working together.
Clark is so up his own ass about not having powers.
Yes,
he's just obnoxiously happy and oblivious. Like, things are great.
Hey, destiny is just another word for not having a choice.
That's, so he's just throwing like one-liners at her. You know, just like greater destiny. Destiny's word for not having a choice. And it's like, all right, enough. All right, because she's like, are you sure this is what you want? And then he looks over and Lana's over there working on something.
Oh, she's not working.
Yeah. Sneaking off and there's work to be done.
That's right.
We're almost there. But yeah, he looks over and he's like, oh, I see. You know, it's like, yes, that is why. You know, that's Superman, man. That is you are Samson. And as Lionel explains to Clark in season 7, he is Samson and Lana is Delilah.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like, dude, but Superman always does this. Superman 2 is like, well... I could save the world.
Or I could be with this girl.
Yeah, I'm going to choose that. And, you know, hey, I understand. I'd do the same thing. We all would, right? Yeah. As much crap as we give Clark, we'd do exactly the same thing. So anyway, they play it very well in season 5. As Chloe goes on to say, I think it's in the next episode, actually, Hidden.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm a big girl now. And he's like, and Clark's like, we've never talked about me and Lana. You know?
Yeah.
And she... is happy for them, but she also is like, no, I'm never going to be with Clark.
Yeah.
She has this one of those pining looks at him when he walks off to go be with Lana here.
Yeah.
And him and Lana are talking, and then Lex drives up. And like, wow, you know, Lex has really helped a lot after the meteor shower. He called FEMA, got that extra support. It's just like, I don't know why that made me laugh.
I think...
the real world terms?
I think it's that, plus like also like we've seen our share of disasters or the effect of natural disasters here a lot. And so like, because like we've had to deal in like...
Hurricanes, floods,
and like we've actually had to deal with these things in real life. Like we've actually had to have military rations before.
Yeah.
So, as a result, with like the National Guard coming in, so I think just hearing it like on the TV show, we just kind of laugh at it since we've experienced it.
It's like you guys don't know what you're talking about. But it is interesting. Like Lex drives up and you know, and some random town person goes and shakes his hand and like, oh, look at Lex, respectable member of the town,
doing the PR. He's already doing the political thing.
Yeah, totally. I think they're planting the seeds as they do in season 5. You know, they actually plant some things out so they can hit at some things, they can reference some other things, and we'll get into that. Because there is one reference later that does tie into that, I think. But Clark and Lana are going to go get some nails. Because the kids are like, Clark, can you go back to get that box of nails from the farm? And Lana's like, I'll go with you. And
yep.
That's what you do. They're young and in love, right?
Yes, they are.
So they're going to go. And I thought it was odd, though. They're going to go walk to the Kent barn.
Yeah.
Where is this barn being? Where is this?
I don't know.
It's not on the back 40. They wouldn't be building another barn back there. I was on the impression this was not the Kents' property.
Same.
So, how far are they going to walk?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, there are plenty of cars around.
That is correct.
So, and if you're tired of working all day, you don't want to walk 5 miles, yes, right? And Clark doesn't have super speed anymore.
That is
maybe
correct.
Jonathan was just forgetting that Clark didn't have super speed. I think that's probably what it was.
Possibly.
So they start, they hold hands, start to walk off, yeah, like a happy couple, and then Lex comes up. What did you say?
Happy couple. Sneaking off when there's work to be done.
Yes. And it's funny because, oh, it's Lex, but he's also like, I'm jealous of you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And of course, Lana just leaves.
Yeah.
Clark says, she doesn't trust you, Lex. This is a very, I love this. I love the dynamics between all the characters in this episode. It's wonderful. Yeah. In such a Lex line, he tells Clark, he's like, well, hope the town isn't the only thing we can rebuild.
I know.
And Clark's like, me too, Lex. And they walk out because, yeah, he's they're all on the level at this point. Clark, yeah, again,
they're back to zeros. You know what I mean?
But like, this is the same thing that happened at the beginning of season four.
Correct.
Exactly,
but
the same.
But there's a little bit different circumstances because, at the moment, right, Clark has no idea that he's ever going to get his, he's like, I'm not getting my powers back. I'm just going to be human for the rest of my life. And so he's just like, so all that other stuff, I can, like, the stuff that's in the past, like, as he says, goes on to say later, he's like, oh, that's in the past now. Like, he just doesn't care about that stuff. So now he can be honest with people. And when if people ask him about it, he'd just be ignorant and be like, I have no, what are you, I'm normal.
Why don't we go out to the parking lot? You can hit me with your car.
I know, right?
So is that. So then they walk to the Kent farm for some reason. But I love this quiet moment between Clark and I. They're walking along, and
yeah,
Clark picks up a meteor rock, and it's such a cool thing.
Yeah, he just casually picks one up because he's finally able to do something that he couldn't ever do. You know?
Yeah.
And so
that kind of really cements, like, the new status quo, where,
yes,
you can just pick up this meteor rock. It's something that everybody else has been around for years.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he throws it at the end, and
yeah,
I was like, is he going to throw it into space?
I know, right?
It's funny to see him throw something and not go comically far.
Mm-hmm.
But this, they didn't need that in the episode, but it was a nice moment to kind of remind you, what the rules are here.
Yeah.
But that is interesting, though, because should him not having powers make him not allergic to the meteor rock, so to speak, right? Because, like, when he switches powers with Iceman, why does I love the story elements of it, but why does kryptonite affect him and not Clark? Because Clark's biology should be the same, right?
Yeah.
But he just doesn't have his powers. And if you're human, what is the powers relation to the physiology? Right? This is some deep science of Superman,
yeah,
questions. So I'm just thinking, like, and that would really suck to not have powers and also
be allergic to kryptonite? Yeah, that
would be the
suck.
Worst. That would be the worst. So I understand. They make the rules are like, look, all the powers come with all the vulnerabilities, right?
Mm.
Limitless cosmic power, itty bitty living space. These,
okay,
are the rules we're working in.
All right? All right.
So to quote Aladdin, so for those of you who didn't pick up on that very obvious reference I just made. So they get to the barn.
They're just like, oh yeah. So he's like, yeah, it might be a while before I find, what we're looking for. He's like, okay, good. I need a break. Clark's just like, found him. And it's just and like
somebody doesn't take a hint.
Yes. Oh, because Lana's just like, yeah, we're all alone.
Everybody's out waiting for us. That means nobody's here.
Yes.
That means we can go
upstairs in the barn,
up to the loft and have sex for the first time.
Yep.
And it's like, okay. I mean, really, the loft on this couch has been sitting out here?
I think somebody on the writing staff had a barn sex fantasy.
Literally rolling around in the hay.
Yeah.
Right? Well, look at that in Relic.
Yeah.
Right? That's what
yeah,
Joe and Louise do. It's the same, yeah, thing, right? So they start to get a little, really hot and heavy.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, wait. Clark's like, wait. I think we should take things slow. And what does Lana say?
Clark, we've been taking things slow for the past 4 years.
Which I take very much offense to.
Well, yeah. And when I saw that, I was just thinking to myself, I was like, why are you always lying? That's not true.
She was dating other people
for
70% of that.
When we were introduced to her, she had a serious boyfriend.
Yeah. So to contextualize, they've been taking it slow. No, not that.
No.
This is not the case. And it reminds me of season four when it was like, from the first day, I always imagined I would go to prom with Lon. I'm like, what is
that? I'm sure you imagined it. That was never a possibility, when you were imagining it.
And then, of course, and we've mentioned this leading up to this many times, they have their, wait, you and Jason? No.
You and Alicia?
No. Oh. So, of course, the two of them assume that the other two.
Yes.
But that's the last time we ever hear of Jason Teague,
mm-hmm,
or Alicia Baker,
yeah,
in this throwaway lines before Clark and Lana are going to consummate their relationship here.
Yep. Pour one out for Alicia.
They start to get hot and heavy here, and they hear someone show up at,
yeah,
the at the barn. And of course, it's like, oh, my God,
it's comical. Yeah,
parents, oh my God.
So yeah, it's comical. It's funny.
Clark's putting his shirt on inside out, and,
uh-huh,
I'm like, oh, hey, Mom, no. And it's White Lightning and,
yeah,
the Wonder Twins. And And see, and this is like, this is when I thought, oh, if they got like a character like Justin Gaines from, you know, Adam Brody from Crush, he could have done the telekinesis stuff and, you know, pin Clark up against the wall, that kind of stuff. But again, I get, they kind of did that in Asylum with other Freaks of the Week. Mm-hmm. So they want to keep it vague, but these guys don't really know.
Yeah.
Like even the Wonder Twins are like, he's not what we expected. Yeah. And they always talk in the alternate sentences. Which
yeah, they finish each other's sentences.
They at least have character. Like they're weird guys. You don't know what was going on with these dudes. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like two other dudes. So I at least give them credit there.
It's true, yeah.
Because most meter freaks are just like a normal person until they...
And they're one note.
And they have their CGI power that comes out of their, their hands. Like this guy, like White Lightning. So Clark and Lana get taken hostage by these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to the Kawachi case.
Yeah,
and Chloe,
it's Chloe.
Chloe in the caves in the secret room.
Yes.
Which no one knew about until, you know, the premiere.
And she's talking out loud.
Loose lips sink ships, Chloe. Did you not say that? And then she's talking out loud about, well, Clark, this is what you wanted.
And then all of a sudden, like, turns around, and then there's a jump scare with Lex.
Yes. Continuing the horror movie theme of Lex Luthor from the last episode, she drops her flashlight.
Yes.
And she would because she was scared.
Yes.
And this comes into play later. Again, Chekhov's flashlight.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Lex, he picks up the flashlight, gives it back to Chloe.
Being a nice dude, sort of.
I love this scene. I love that Rosamund and Mac have some scenes together, much like in later season 3,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, they're couple of best actors on the show. It's great for them to play off each other.
Yeah.
Because Chloe's always been more adult than all the other teenagers.
Absolutely.
So she can play in Lex's world more than the other ones. He's like, why have you been avoiding me, Chloe? And he's like, well, I've been busy.
Well, she's like, I've been busy. And his response to that is like, yeah, I heard being a third wheel is very time consuming.
Like, well, going low.
For real. Yeah. Like, right off the bat. It's like, dang.
Well, he knows what it's like to be a third wheel now. So
yes, he does, because he is one.
Yeah. Yeah. How that plank in your own eye, brother. Right? But... He talks about, like, I swore I saw Clark, you know, and he's talking about all this, and he thinks he saw Clark at the epicenter, and he's like, there's no explanation how you ended up in the Yukon and all this stuff. And then Chloe turns it around on him, though, mentioning the fact that Lana thought she saw a spaceship.
Yeah.
And Lex like, well, it was a high-stress situation. She was delusional. It's like, just like you.
Uh-huh.
And the meteor shower. So she really turns it around. And again, she leaves it on, stop asking me questions, or I'm going to start asking questions of my own.
Which is great, because Lex knows that she could go, she can go through with that threat. Like she is somebody that could be taken seriously. And I like how she's holding her own here, and how the both of them kind of come to, like, you know, an impasse with this encounter. It's great. I love it.
Absolutely. So let me cut back to the Kents' house.
Yes.
And Clark and Lana being held hostage by Black Lightning and the
White Lightning.
White Lightning and the Wonder Twins.
That's a band. That's a bad name if I ever heard one.
That is a punk rock band.
Yeah.
White Lightning and the Wonder Twins. Feel free to use that. So you're getting an explanation about, level 3?
Mm-hmm.
Heard of it? Oh, yeah. They were held at level 3, apparently, and they had powers. They had experiments done on them, and they got juiced up with more kryptonite, and they want Clark to bust back into level 3.
To get them.
And he's like, well, you guys have all these powers. Why don't you do it? He's like, yeah, it's heavily guarded, but if the stories I hear about you are true, be no problem. Yeah. And Lana's like, what are they talking about? Like, nothing, Lana. It's fine.
Yeah.
why are they people at level 3 still if we have 33.1 in Metropolis?
Don't know.
Plot hole.
Don't know.
I appreciate the continuity of it, right? Because obviously that was a big deal in season 1. But having 33.1 be Lex's deal... Level 3 was like Lionel's deal,
yeah.
So I'm not sure exactly what the... You know, it's smart to have these things spread out, I guess. Level 3, it's like your penthouse operation, you know, downtown. and level 3, that's 33.1. And then level 3 is the one you have, you know, in the suburbs or whatever. But
yeah.
Anyway, it's a Smallville branch. So, interesting note about the set here as well. Obviously, the Kent house has been pretty much destroyed by the meteor shower. And it's recognizable as the interior of the Kent house, but it's all very like, oh, they're reconstructing it. And obviously what they had done is they just kind of took some of the set dressing away.
Yes.
And that's kind of behind the scenes of the actual set. So that's very meta, if you will, seeing it like, and they just slide the stuff back in.
That's right.
But for all the lack of continuity crap we give the show, like, Jonathan breaks his leg one week and he's fine for the next. Pete breaks his arm. Colleen's in the hospital. All, you know, whatever, right? There are actually some repercussions of this meteor shower that just ended everybody's life. So I appreciate that.
For sure. You know, after kind of, you know, giving us some exposition about like where they came from and everything else like that, they tell Clark that he has to go and get it. And then this is when the Kents come back And they pull up and they're just like, well, we sent Clark in, to go get those nails a while ago. I wonder why they haven't come back yet. White Lightning hears that somebody's coming up and sends Clark out to go deal with his parents, and says, and you don't say anything or else we're going to, you know, we're basically going to kill your girlfriend. And so the Kents come in and they're just like, so Clark, where you been? And Clark is badly lying to them.
Hey guys,
and it's so obvious.
He's just Clark, you've been gone for hours. Yeah. Like, what time is it?
I don't know.
Because it's still light outside. He's been gone for hours.
Yeah.
Like, what? Did I call and check? And like, yeah, maybe if they let him take a car, he wouldn't have been gone for hours.
It's true. But it's funny, though, because, like, at the beginning of this, the Kents are just amused by it because they obviously know what's going on.
Martha's like, why is your shirt on inside out? Oh, where's Lana? Oh, she's fleeing down. Yeah, And so, like, oh, I know what's going on here. And Martha's always looking for Clark to get some.
Yes.
Very, very happy for us.
Yes, she is. She's his ultimate wing woman.
Yeah. So Clark, he's like, what? Why are you guys always like this? Why can't you just give me some space? Why are you guys on my case? And like, Clark,
give me an inch.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. And it quickly takes a turn because White Lightning comes out. And this is, for whatever reason, this is one of Lance's and I's favorite lines of the show. We repeat it all the time.
Yeah.
And they, when he calls John, like, old man. Yeah. Or like, cool it, old man. And Jonathan, he looks at this guy, he says, listen, fella, I don't know who the hell you think you're talking to. It's just a hilarious, like, show of bravado from Jonathan Kent. And he goes up to him, it's like, who the hell are you, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, he gets, you know, lightning away and all that. Correct. But that little moment is just such a great quotable from Jonathan Kent.
It's so good. And, like,
I can't put my finger on why we chose to say this all the time. But
we did.
Again, these first couple episodes, that, and then, of course, next week, only he can open it, right?
Yeah.
One-off lines, they mean nothing. You know, it's just, this is what we do. So now that this is, you know, the stakes have been established here, now these guys have his whole family. You know, his mom, his dad, his girlfriend. It's like, okay, all right, gonna go do it. And he gives him a timetable of like two hours.
Right? Yeah.
I'm like, why so quick? I don't even have a car. Let me call my friend Chloe.
Yes, she can come pick me up.
Because next we see a Clark, him and Chloe are outside of Luther Corp in her Beetle. I'm like, so I want to know,
is it San Francisco?
Yeah, with the bridge. Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to know how this went down. Like, Chloe,
can you come pick me up?
Yeah, I'll tell you on the way after you get me. But we got to go to Luther Corp. And you're right. They're in this field outside of Luther Corp. And there's this bridge behind them.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's a bridge in Vancouver somewhere. But it's like, we're in the middle of
Kansas.
Could you just... You didn't have to show the bridge.
Yes.
You could have parked any direction where there wasn't a giant bridge. It's the problem was just like, okay, we have a bridge over here or mountains over here. Which one are we going to do? I guess the bridge. It's a really big lake. You know. Anyway, it is odd to see this architecture in the background. But they're talking about what needs to be done. And this is the line where I was mentioning earlier about Lex and Senate. They have to get into Luther Corp, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Chloe's like, well, have you called Lex? And Clark's like, yeah, I did, but... They said he was in Washington all day. Like, oh, okay, well, planting the seeds for, you know, the Senate run.
Mm-hmm.
Or the weapon they're developing in Aqua that they're going to sell to the military. So lots of possibilities. Just look at you, Smallville. Just these little lines go a long way
Absolutely.
To making people like me who dissect this show very happy. So they're going to have to do it on their own. So Chloe opens up her trunk.
It's a superhero trunk.
It is insane. And she has all this stuff, and Clark says... She get all this stuff and Chloe says eBay.
Yeah.
Which is, I was waiting for a Chloe's Unseen Connection, but I thought maybe, oh yeah, my Uncle Sam gave me this because, you know, he had given her the jamming device in Jinx, so.
Yeah, there's that. But also, like, you know, the most important item that we see in there is that flash grenade that she got from Lois for a graduation present.
Saving for a special occasion.
Yep.
Chekhov's flash grenade,
Absolutely.
Right? Again, but you don't think it's going to come into play later. You just think it's just an over-the-top ridiculous thing that she has. And it's like, oh, that's funny. Lois would give her that. So they go into Luther Corp, and they never mention this. I thought it would come into play at some point, but, you know, Chloe's dad used to work there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why she would have, like, a more intricate knowledge of, you know,
the plant and everything.
What's going on, right?
Yeah.
Like, that would have been a good throwaway line somewhere. But they're doing so well, I'm not going to hold that against them, right?
That's fair.
But they get up to this door, and Chloe asks Clark, what would you usually do? And he says... Well, usually I just bust through the door, use my super speed, find what I need, and get out of here.
Yeah.
She's like, so what you're telling me is...
You have no useful skills.
You have no useful skills. It's like, oh, great. I finally get my own superhero. This is what I get.
Yeah,
so,
it's funny.
So she pulls out her laptop, and for some reason this door has a USB interface.
Yeah.
She plugs her laptop into it. And Clark's like, oh, well, this is great. you can loop all the cameras. And, like, you've seen Speed a bunch of many times, yeah. Right? You just replay the same hallway. And she's like, yeah, if I had, like, a month.
Yeah. So, it's just like, and he's so excited about it. It just sounds like
he thinks
Anakin.
He figured it out.
And he's just like, and then you could supply the pod. And that's just like.
You can make me think it's yours. That's, I don't know why we always go back to that conversation. Is that ridiculous?
Because it's ridiculous.
Like,
that's why.
Pulling one over on Watto. Yeah. Perhaps I killed a Jedi and took it from him. Oh, that's the lightsaber, not the yeah. not the pod. Well, we didn't kill anyone I know for it, hmm? Watto. Oh,
man. Chut-chut, Watto.
Chut-chut, Watto. It is you!
What do you know?
Oh, my God. It's enough. Prequel quotes, all right? I'm here to see my mother. Anyway, I don't even know how we got on that tangent. Yes. Clark's really proud of himself for thinking up this because he's seen Speed one too many times. Uh-huh. And, you know, at this point in the show, and I know at some point Chloe does become like this master hacker, but at this point, there are things beyond her capability.
Yeah.
Because she hasn't taken her hacking class at college, clearly. Right. You know, she's stressed out of high school. And she's like, look, sometimes it's easier just to shut the power off. And they turn off the power.
Chekhov's one-liner.
And that's the theme of the episode, guys. You turn the power off. There's a theme here. Yeah. So then they open the door and they go in. Clark has gone full Mission Impossible here, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And he's crawling around in these air ducts, and he's got this earpiece in. Guy in the chair, girl in the chair, right?
Absolutely.
That's Chloe, totally.
Yeah, it's probably the same location where Justin Hartley was in season 9.
They are Kandorian! It's the Smallville air duct set, and Clark's crawling around. And I got to give credit, you know, Tom Welling. I always say, like, yeah, he's great at playing a villain. He's also great at comedy.
Yeah.
Because when he's in this overwhelming situation, because Clark's usually not in these situations, he's like, oh, my God, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, it's hot. I feel like I'm going in circles. He looks so exasperated. Uh-huh. And Chloe says, gosh, Clark, I didn't know super whining was one of your abilities.
Yeah.
It's like, well, Pete, it was never like this.
He's like, you told Pete?
Yeah. Like, well, I kind of had to. He saw my spaceship. Pete got to
see your spaceship?
And Clark's like, ugh. It's a great reaction. I totally believe that Chloe would react that way. Like, he got to see your spaceship. He's crawling around these air ducts, and he sets some proximity alarm. They all start to pow, pow, like slamming down on him.
Yeah, and she's like, Clark, you have to go now.
Run, Barry, run. Yeah. And so he then falls out of one of these air ducts.
And he's dangling like 20 feet in the air.
And this is the kind of stuff that you would never experience in a normal small episode, which makes it so unique and fun. He's like, well, Clark's in big trouble here.
Yeah.
And I know he doesn't know what to do.
Yes, so, absolutely.
And I like, they're having obstacles here. You know, some things are easy, some things are hard. Also, Chloe did mention, like, that's weird. There wasn't a lot of security once we got past the perimeter. Mm-hmm. So you're like, that's convenient. Okay, whatever, Smallville. But there's a story reason
there
for
is.
That. We'll figure it out later.
We shall.
So let me come back to the Kin house. And who has arrived but Sheriff Adams?
My girl.
When Sheriff Adams first showed up in the show, not a fan.
Yeah.
I truly prescribe to Perry White's analysis of her as a cartoon character of a sheriff. Mr. Kent. So she shows up. And, you know, the White Lightning and the Winter Twins are like, oh, we got to kill her. Like, oh, no, Lana and Mr. Kane are like, okay, wait, we'll get rid of her. Just don't hurt her. And like, all right. But they keep Martha, you know, hostage with them and go like around the corner.
Basically, yeah.
So they can hear everything. So Sheriff Adams comes in and she's like, oh, how you doing?
Mr. Kent,
where's the missus? And John's like, oh, she's out at the bar. Like, oh, I was just there. She wasn't there.
Funny, I didn't see her.
Yeah. they just go on and on. And
it's funny because, like, she comes there to warn them that, like, there's three escaped convicts that are out on the loose. And then so she's there, and she's just kind of, like, just being nosy, just asking a bunch of questions. And then she's about to leave, and then she's like, is that coffee? And then Jonathan, you could be just like, my God, get out of here. And then Lana's just like, get out of here, please. And
but then she finds cigarettes.
Cigarettes, yeah.
Yeah, because you don't think about that, because White Lightning has been smoking
this whole time. Yeah.
And he leaves his pack of cigarettes there. And she's like, oh, Mr. Kent, man, your condition shouldn't smoke no cigarettes. And Lana's like, oh, those are mine.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good to see that you never get to see Lana in these situations.
Yeah,
and,
but it's also interesting, like, how number one, like, A, she just jumps right into the Kent family lying business.
Yeah.
And then two, you would think that, like, as you know, this would give her some, I guess, a little bit of insight into, like, maybe there's a reason why, you know, the Kents are so secretive about stuff, because stuff happens to them. But, you know, she doesn't really think about that, I don't think, later.
No, but it's just so funny how they keep just trying to get rid of Sheriff Adams.
Yeah, she keeps linging around.
And they finally do get rid of her. And I think, you know, we cut away and come back at some point. But just to wrap this part of it up, they come back and say, oh, she finished her coffee. She's like, well, thanks for the coffee. And it is funny. Like, Party was like, are they Was there a level here which is like, what's going on here between Jonathan and Lana? What's and where's his might have wife? Been. You know, was it might have been. But I just thought like they could have played into that more, like,
yeah.
What's this 40 something year old man doing here with his teenager and his wife alone, is gone, right? Yeah. So that was it's a bad look.
Yes. Here we go.
So she leaves and I'm thinking to myself, all right, Sheriff Adams, such an inept sheriff. Like, yeah. Come on. Wake up. And then as I'm thinking that she's like pulls over radio, she's like, we got a 10-11 at the camp farm. I'm like, yep. Good for you, Sheriff.
Absolutely.
Adams.
That's great. Like she's annoyingly good at her job. That's
finally.
What I, that's what I put in my notes. It's like because all those questions and her stalling and all that was just her trying to either snuff them out or just figure out that they're there and figure out for certain that they're there.
Right, right. So she starts to call in the backup. And then White Lightning busts out and kind of throws her into some cars. And the Wonder Twins set up this perimeter with their force field.
And then Jonathan tries to, like, you know, get in on the action, but he takes some shots.
Yeah, him like, and White Lightning go at it.
You know? They do. And you can tell, like, Jonathan got his bell rung a couple times by that dude.
And then Lana goes full Lethal Weapon 2 on one of the Wonder Twins.
The nail gun!
The nail gun! The nail gun through one of the hands of the Wonder Twins. So.
Oh, and they both feel it.
We are hurting.
Yeah. He's like, it's like, we cannot maintain.
So again, I like the fact they're not just two other goofy looking teenagers. Like they are true like comic book villain, like weird looking people with weird powers.
Yeah.
So that works. And the whole mind connection thing, I don't know what their powers are and they were born like this or whatever. It looks like kind of like powder, actually.
A little bit, yeah.
But you're like, something weird's going on here, so I'm going to roll with it. Mm-hmm. You know? More so than, it took me a while to be won over by White Lightning, but like he turned out to be a fine villain after all.
Yeah.
He became less stock Walker Texas Ranger villain as the episode went on.
Agreed.
I mean, he's got tattoos, right?
Yeah.
And he's got wearing a cut-off t-shirt, smoking. I'm like, again, like not the strong first impression, but as the episode goes on, he's not inept. He's smart.
Yeah.
And he has some more smart stuff later as well, as
yes,
we say.
Yes, he does.
So somehow Clark got down from... We don't see how.
We don't see how.
Somehow he did
mention, like, she was like, how'd you do? And he's like, I'm not really crazy about the heights when he was hanging around there. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah, so he lets her in, and now they're both in level 3 here. The whole reason they know where level 3 is because Chloe had some blueprints.
Yeah.
And his blueprints was just nothing. It's like, well, they forgot to fill this part in. So, and I just thought about this, like, where is the spaceship?
I don't know.
Is it not at level 3? Is it level 4?
Yeah, it's level 4.
Because it's like, this is exact. They should be right next door to the spaceship right now.
That's correct, yeah.
Because it's established where it is. But anyway, all that to say, they find out where everything is.
Mm-hmm.
They go up to this, you know, safe or whatever. I'm like, oh, great, we found it. Clark gets a phone call from White Lightning because the cops are all there and all that. And as you said, the guys, we cannot maintain.
Mm-hmm.
So White Lightning calls Clark on the cell phone. I would have liked to see that exchange. Like, okay, I'm going to call. What's your number? I'm going to put your...
Yeah,
your,
no, like...
What's your digits?
Before, like, before he leaves, he's like, all right. He's like, what's your number? Give me your real number.
Yeah.
So I'm going to call this number. And this is my phone. He's like, my name is Mike.
So it's just funny to think they have each other's cell phone numbers.
Yeah, I know.
And
it's like after this episode, like, what does Clark do with that number?
Yeah,
like,
you save that number, right? You ever delete like when I used to do this, like when I deleted numbers from my phone, like I'd always write them on like a notebook, like or a piece of paper somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, I want to have I have this information. I don't want to not have it, but I don't want it in my phone anymore.
Correct.
So I'm going to document it. I mean, I'm like Lex, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, I keep this knowledge. Right. But it's like, I don't know. I'm not going to need this other person in band's number who played a woodwind instrument when I was a sophomore year in high school, but I'm going to keep it because I don't know. Like, you never know. So anyway.
You do never know.
You never know.
Yeah, you just never know.
There's so many places to go with that. We're going to keep doing. We're going to keep moving, though.
Absolutely.
So. This guy calls Clark. He's like, okay. He's like, so you better get back here quick. And he's like, yeah, we got it.
I'm on my way.
On my way. Right. So then Chloe finally opens up the thing and they need a thumbprint from Lex. Clark's like, I just told him we had it. Because that's what you do, right? I mean, you can speak from experience. Like, if I'm somewhere and I'm running late and somebody calls me, like yourself, for example.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, are you here? I'm like, yeah, I'm just exiting the freeway. I'm nowhere near the exit.
Absolutely.
I'm like, it's going to be a good 15 minutes.
Or when somebody says parking. Like, they're not parking.
No, they're like, in the car.
Yeah.
So at least you know they're not at home.
Yeah.
But you don't know where they are. And I don't understand human behavior or my own behavior. Because why would you do this? Because the person waiting for you,
yes,
right, is like, oh, good, they're parking. They should be here in a couple of minutes, but you're not going to be there.
That's correct.
So obviously they're like, where are they? I'm getting frustrated. I'm going to check in. And you say, it's okay, I'm here. So then then it de-elevates, right?
Yes.
And then it re-elevates when you just told them you're parking and you're a good 15 minutes away.
That's correct.
Why would you do that? I do it. I still will.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
And everybody does it,
too. We all do it.
We all do it.
I'm outside. Where? I'm around the corner. Just wait.
Yeah.
It's just like, why do you bullshit? Why can't you just say, yeah, I'm running late. I'll be like in 20 minutes.
It's like that. It's like that meme. It's just like, hey, where are you? It's like, oh, I'm 5 minutes away. It's like, just like
in
you're
the
in
tub.
The shower.
In the tub. Anyway, little tangent there, but I just thought it was amusing because we've all put ourselves in situations.
Yes.
You tell someone, yeah, we got it, no problem, and you don't have it.
Nope.
You got nothing. So, but we have Chekhov's flashlight.
Absolutely.
So we have Chloe pull out the flashlight. I guess she had it with her in her bag of stuff. Did she go back out to the car to get it? I don't know.
No, I think it was just with her. She's always prepared.
That's right, always prepared. So she starts pulling fingerprints off the flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how, you know, we cut away and then we come back, you know, and back to the Kent farm, then we come back. And I like how they established that it wasn't just the first one. Clark's like, is this going to work? And Chloe's like, well, it needs to. It's the last one. So they had tried all the other, you know, fingerprints.
Yeah.
And finally, one of them does work. And so, fortunately, they get in. We get the same stock footage of Lex Luthor's thumbprint that we got from Jinx in level 33.1.
Uh-huh.
And then it opens up, and you see all the fluid or the drug or whatever, the kryptonite, right? And again, Clark is not affected by it, so you don't hear the sound effect or any of that. So he's like, oh, good, I'm just going to reach in here and get it.
And then his arm gets lasered.
Yeah, he gets lasered. Like, would it must be like a low-level laser, because wouldn't he not be like immediately cut off or something? Like, I don't know. I don't know the science of what these lasers are, but it's hurtful. And like you can see it like cut straight through his shirt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of brushed up against it, I guess. And they can't get the stuff now, you know?
Yeah.
Because she tried to like find a frequency, and there's all this talk about frequencies, and that comes into play later.
Yes.
But... you know, we don't know what we're going to do. And Clark's like, I have an idea.
Yeah.
Because they can't get it.
That's
because they can't get through that right now. And he already told them they're on. He already told White Lightning that he's on his way.
On his way.
So we cut back to the farm.
And then they see his truck pulling up.
Yeah.
And I think it's Lana who's just like, he did it. And White Lightning's just like, shut up. He ain't done nothing yet.
Yeah, I love that. It's like, no,
yeah,
he just showed up. Just because attendance is not the grade.
That's right.
So anyway, and I love how Clark, he's going through, you know, this police barricade. He's like, sheriff, 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 I have to get in there. He's like, Mr. Kent, now it's not time to be a hero. And Clark's like, look, I'm just a normal guy who doesn't want to see his entire family killed. And for once, he's telling the truth.
Yes,
right?
He is.
And so, but it's so typical of all the other situations. I think like Resurrection, where it's like the hospital is like, I have to go in there. I have to be the one. And it's like, all right, no, whatever. But she's like, all right, well, even if I did, how are you supposed to get through that kind of energy barrier? And he's like, with this.
And it's a cell phone.
It's a cell phone. It's like not some kind of reveal.
It's like, I have his number.
Yeah, it's like, with this. It's a cell phone, bro.
Yeah, and you know what? Shout out to flip phones. Like,
I miss flip phones.
I do
watching
too.
This episode.
I do too.
Yeah. I mean, not just because they like Star Trek communicators. I like the flipping open. When you're mad at somebody, you close it.
Yeah.
You just throw it across the room. You smash it. We've all done that, right?
Absolutely.
Never smashed my cell phone, but there's a satisfying feeling. Like Jerry Seinfeld has a thing about this where he's like, smartphones, like when you're mad at somebody, you just push that button, you know? Because back in the day, you slam the handle down,
that's
you know?
Correct.
But there was a certain satisfaction to that.
There was, and there was just something else about like the flip, like it was just kind of cool.
Well, it's like, now I'm talking,
now I'm not.
Now it's like, you have a screen always.
Yes.
This is our Lance and I societal commentary on human behavior this week. But it's like, you need a barrier to like your phone, and it's nice to like, okay, it's closed now. Like your laptop. Like, shut that laptop.
Uh-huh. Shut that phone.
What you're going to get to? Shut that phone. That's a new... Shut that flip phone. So, Clark comes in there, and he has this case, and we don't know what's in the case.
Yep.
But he comes
what's
in there,
the stuff?
And he puts it down. He's like, oh, man, kid, I knew you wouldn't let me down. All right, yeah. Let's get the stories about you were true or whatever, right? So he opens it up, and it's the flash grenade.
Hey-oh!
And so there's all this chaos going on, and Clark picks up this sledgehammer and smashes the breaker box.
Pretty badass.
Because sometimes you just have to turn the power off.
Absolutely.
Because then he's able to kind of fight White Lightning a little bit
and
beat him up. Because White Lightning was going to pull his electricity, but then he has nothing to pull from.
Absolutely,
and so that's why Clark is able to, you know, defeat him in just hand-to-hand combat, which is shocking.
Yes.
Because I was surprised Clark... could actually hold his own against, because I guarantee you White Lightning's been in a few fights in his time.
Yes.
But Clark, you know, he's still a bigger guy, even without his powers, and he's able to hold him off.
Yeah, he played football.
That's right. He was the starting quarterback for the state champions. All right. 2 days. Pay off.
Get yourself one of these.
So They save the day. The Kents and Lana play their role too, beating up the other guys. And those poor guys, you know, I would feel bad beating up those guys.
Yes.
We are. So then the Sheriff Adams comes in. He's like, well, Mr. Kent, you fine job. You were considered a career in law enforcement. It's like, oh, you get it? Because Superman is in law enforcement. Yeah. Although he does become a cop in Bulletproof, season 8, episode 12.
I think so.
Look at me with that recall. But anyway. Lana's like, oh, or you could go bounce him out again. She's all hot and bothered by Clark beat up. It's like, he has been saving your life for this years.
See, now that's something that has been going on for 4 years.
Exactly. But anyway, it is cute.
Yes.
And I know we give Lana a hard time on the show, but I really do enjoy them seeing them together when they're happy. And like,
it's nice. It's
what the dude has always wanted. It's nice he gets a taste of happiness, right?
Yes.
So, but then Chloe comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, hey, guys, can I have a minute with Clark? And Lana's like, sure.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's kind of weird.
No, it's
right?
not. Lana's looking at that. She's like, oh, yeah, you're not a threat.
Damn. It's so true. You haven't been a threat for 4 years.
Yeah.
It's so sad. She's like, okay, sure, whatever. You can talk to my boyfriend. Not going to change anything.
Exactly. This is a Mean Girls thing going on.
Well, and at first, you know, when you watch this episode the first time, like, oh, this is the Clark and Chloe, and they kind of talk about what happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is, Clark does use the one-liner, easier to turn the power off the guy, right? And then, you know, they kind of talk about that. And, hey, you can still, you know, you're a hero without your powers and that kind of fun talk. So they're on good standing there at this point.
They are. It's also cute to see them do it, like, being able to, like, have, like, you know, superhero recap.
Right.
You know?
Well, and she even says, like, so we were able to take down three meteor freaks, without any of your abilities. I'm like, Chloe, stop saying. She looks around like, they can hear you. Mm-hmm. That's another final commentary on human behavior.
Okay.
People who are like, and this is the thing, like, TV and movies, when it's like, I'm going to lean over to you and like, put my hand over my mouth.
Yeah.
And then someone who's sitting 3 feet from me is not going to either notice this or hear what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like, it's so suspicious. It's like, you know, like
That's what texting is for.
Yeah, or it's like, you know, like last year, you know, like when, like in the NBA, like at the end of the game, like when like LeBron was sitting there talking to Anthony Davis and he put like a towel over his hand and like they were talking just like that.
You're going to play for me, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what he was saying.
But anyway.
It's the same stuff.
Chloe, just we know, all right? We don't need to say like, oh, without your abilities. But anyway.
Yeah.
We think you know that's going to be the gist of the scene, right? Like, oh, well, now they're a good team, and even without powers, they're going to be able to save the day together, right? But wait, there's more. She's like, well, I was looking at the signals, and there was a video signal underneath the other feed, and someone was watching us. Right? And you're like, oh
snap!
And then you cut to Luther Mansion, and Lex is sitting on his laptop. Finally. Finally learned to install some damn cameras. There's, you know,
it's too late.
It's too late, though. Should have done it like a month earlier.
Yes.
So he has his laptop and he's seeing. You see the feed of like Clark reaching in to get the serum, but he gets shocked. He's like, "Ow!" And Lex's like, "No, that's not possible."
Yes. I love it.
And then Clark comes in disappointed, and
he like shuts the laptop.
Shut that plus one for shut that laptop.
There it is.
Yeah. And he's like, Clark, hey, I heard what happened. Oh, is everyone all right? Yeah. And Clark just decks him in the face.
Love it.
And it's so cathartic.
It's so good.
And Lex is like, what the hell are you doing? And Clark does not stop. He just keeps beating him down. Like, what do you think of this?
Since he is mortal now, like he can do these things. But here it's just like all this pent up frustration and anger towards Lex for his behavior, and like for this is, you know, for 4 years of looking into him, of, you know,
do it
like, you know, like all these experiments and like, you know, and putting people in danger and doing all this other stuff, it's finally come to a head and he can finally unleash his anger towards Lex, and I love it. And from Clark's perspective, you kind of get it. This is why he's mad enough to like punch somebody. From Lex's perspective, though, this has got to be just like demoralizing, because like he puts together what is basically a foolproof plan. If Clark listened to Jor-El, he would still have his powers.
Clark loses his powers at the most convenient times for him.
Yes.
It's like it's season one, right? Where he's
absolutely
like, look, I got this recreation of this crash. I think you have superpowers now. And it's like, no crap, he's in the hospital, right?
Yeah.
And you're right. It's like for and so Lex, not only has he set up this plan,
yeah,
and it's failed, he's lost his best friend too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, damn it. You know.
Yeah. And so it's crazy. And also, like, if you're Lex, you're watching this, right? Like if we could see the footage of, like, Lex watching this, like, 5 minutes early before Clark gets in there. And he sees like, Clark, like, shimmying through the air vents and, like, finding a way to get down.
And he just uses super speed.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Lex is probably just like, what is this idiot doing? Just, like, let's get on with it already. Yeah. Get on with it. And then he sees him doing all this. It's like, what's hell going on?
Well, see, because before I thought, before I kind of connected the dots of what's going on in season five in the greater picture, I thought, oh, well, Lex is, that's a lie. He's like, I'll tell Clark or Chloe, whoever, that I'm in Washington, I'm not here.
Yeah.
But he probably really was there, right? And he just got back. He was like, all right, watch this footage.
Yeah, I know, right?
So he sits down, he opens this, and like you said, he's going to be so confused and disappointed.
Yeah.
And I love what Clark says. He was like, I thought we could start over, Lex, but you're too obsessed with the past, with me. He's like, but I'm different now, and I'm done playing games with you. And it's like, it's so, this is what we wanted to see.
It is.
Right?
And the cool thing is, like, he's actually telling the truth.
Yeah, it's the truth. And ultimately, Clark, what he's most furious about is as he says, you put my family a lot in danger.
Yeah.
And he calls him out. He's like, well, you want to test me? You know, do it yourself, you coward.
Yeah.
You know? And then he goes to hit him, but then Lex stops the punch and hits Clark.
Yes.
And then Clark starts to bleed, and then
he's like, satisfied.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
Lex is like, what's going on? Because he sees that Clark is bleeding. He's a normal guy.
Yep.
And he's like, I don't understand. Like, none of this work, none of this evidence matches up.
Yes.
And you would be like, you were saying, from Lex's perspective, he's like, I have a whole room.
Yeah. I have all this stuff.
But it doesn't make any sense. So you can see why you'd be like, Lex is an idiot for not figuring this out. There's enough time strategically where Clark is quote unquote normal, at least in the eyes of Lex, that it kind of either
debunks it,
and then also there's the whole friendship thing. As he mentions in Onyx, you know, I was blinded by friendship, a factor that's been removed from the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But all that to say, at least Lex has finally started installing cameras, and I guess he figures, well, Clark's normal. I guess I'll just take all the cameras down.
Yeah.
Because there's so many. If he just had cameras at Luther Mansion, so much would be captured, right? But Clark, where does he go after this? He goes to the Talon.
That's right.
Melania's apartment.
That's right.
And I think he thinks he's James Bond or something now because he comes in, he's, you know, got a little shiner on him because he's been hit. And Lana's like, oh God, what happened to you? And he's like, I'm saying goodbye to your old friend. Like, it's like, what?
Well, it's a mixture of that and then, like, the opening scene from Rocky IV, which carries over from the end of Rocky III, which is like, who gave you that hat? And a friend. It's like, oh, okay. Who punched you in your eye? Same friend.
There it is. So then, you know, Clark, it's a tender moment because she can kind of, like, clean up his blood and stuff.
Yeah, she could take care of him.
That were never necessary before.
Yeah.
Right? And so, hey, the mood is right. And they've decided to consummate their relationship. And, you know, it didn't go to the whole wall of candles like she did with Jason. But
nah. No, she did not.
It's a lot more organic, you know.
Yeah, it's that, and also it's also kind of vague, you know, because compared to like other WBCW shows, like that were on at the time, and shows that feature heavily, like, you know, young adults, right? They're a lot more obvious when like the couple, like, you know, does this for the first time. It's a whole lot more obvious of the situation. Here, it's super subtle. I think you like it because you think it's less tasteful and tasteful.
You got Coldplay in the background, a message, right? I mean, come on. That sets the mood. Okay, I get your point, but
it's interesting.
It was gratuitous enough, right?
Like earlier on.
Yeah, and they're naked now, right? And then, you know, TV naked.
because other shows
out to the window.
Yeah, because other shows at the same time,
like One Tree Hill.
Yeah,
that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, Dawson's Creek, the same stuff. You know, like they would do it like how they would present this would be like the honeymoon suite, like with Alicia. It would be like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, this is not season four, my friend.
This is season five. That's right.
We have standards. This is a family show. All right.
Listen, fella.
The hell do you think you're talking to? So, yes, we have Clark and Lana finally consummate their relationship after 4 years of waiting.
Yeah, that's right.
According to Lana, 4 years of taking it slow. Then we pan outside and we pan up from the Talon. And then the power goes off at the Talon. So is that a theme of, like, turning the power off, right? And then the mood and all that. So the themes here, people.
I heard what happened. Is everyone all right? What are you doing?
What I should have done a long time ago. Chloe traced the video feed from level 3.
You were watching us the whole time. I don't know what you're talking about.
She also pulled the security records from Belle Reve. You were there the day those psychos escaped. And you helped them somehow, didn't you? What'd you promise them, Lex? Enough serum to last the rest of their lives?
You're being irrational.
This whole thing was a setup. A test! And to do it, you put Lana and my family in danger.
Clark.
No! I thought we could start over, Lex. But you're too obsessed with the past. With me. But I'm different now, and I'm through playing games with you. You want to test me? You want to see what I'm really made of? Do it yourself, you coward.
Mortal. Got an 8.7 out of 10 on IMDb. And Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage gave it a 4 out of 5. So unless I ask you on the letter grade scale, what would you give Mortal?
An A.
An A, huh?
Solid A. There's actual stakes. There's drama, like in the good way. We get Clark and Chloe being like partners in crime, literally. The Klonna stuff is good. Interesting villains. We had a good showcase of Sheriff Adams being annoyingly good at her job. This is just a really great episode. And also, not to mention, like, the best part of the episode was the Clark and Lex confrontation at the end.
Yes, yes. That finally getting all the things we wanted. Like, they promised that. They're like, this is the season, you get everything you ever wanted. I'm like, well, they're 2 for 2. Like, get a Fortress of Solitude, yeah. Lex and Clark are enemies, and all that stuff. No, I agree. For me, I'm going to give this an A+.
Hey-o. Okay.
I think this is an excellent episode. I think this is one of my favorite episodes of the series, especially rewatching. I was like, man, like this, they really nailed it. Like this, it's such a tight story too. Mm-hmm. And you know, our conversation was a little shorter than I think usual because there wasn't all these tangents to like. And now we have the subplot with the blah 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 blah. No, it was a very tight story. There really wasn't a B plot. Yeah. You know, there was like a 1 and 1A plot. You know, if you would, because everything was revolved around Clark's mission here. So there wasn't all these tangents of the story. So it was very tight, very focused. And again, seeing him out of his elements, both Clark Kent and Tom Welling is great.
Yeah.
Because you can see more shades of the character. And episodes like this, would it be as special if this was like half a season of being Mortal? Because it's like I'm thinking like Arrow season 7, where like Oliver is in jail for half a season.
Yeah.
Like that's an interesting kind of, let's try this, right?
Yeah. But
with Arrow, it's like, okay, you're going 7, 8 years. We've been doing this for a while. Let's try this. Smallville. Mm-hmm. They think they might only be 5 years, maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Could they afford to have Clark be human for a half season? I don't know. And would this episode be as special without it being actually the only one of the show where start to finish he's mortal?
No, I think him not having powers is what makes this episode work. And as far as how long they could have gone with him not having powers, maybe a couple more episodes, but not as long as the first season of Arrow season 7.
Right. So, I mean, to me, it stands apart in that fact. And then also that everything was so tightly wound in it, and it came to like the in confrontation with Lex. Like, this is a classic Lex Luthor setup job.
Yes.
Right? So, perfect, you know, as it gets, right? I mean, even with the Freak of the Weeks, I was like, yeah, but they grew on me as the episode progressed, too. When it first started, I was like, what are these guys going to be? But it all worked out well. Even Sheriff Adams has a shining moment.
That's right.
So it's just like across the board, the performances, the characters, everything was on point. I loved how they really milked Clark not having his powers, having to do these, you know, really physical things and whatnot. And then again, having to use his wits to save the day.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's when Superman, even when he has his powers, right? When he's fighting people like Zod or other people who can overpower him, he has to use his wits.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that here and he saves the day. So A for you, A plus for me. Let's go to the tally board. We do have one correction brought up on our Facebook page by Adam Parker. Thank you, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Roka forgot that Chloe was in a hospital.
Shout to you, Adam.
That was a pretty bad oversight by us. So we have an additional hospital visit from last week, which brings us up to 70 now, and that will be reflected on the in the show notes on our tally board there. And then actually our only tally board for this episode is shut that laptop. Because as soon as Clark comes in, Lex is like, oh, God, hey!
Hey, Clark, hey, glad you're back!
Yeah, everything okay? Oh, is everything okay?
Like, punch in the face.
Classic, I know what's going on, but I have to lie about it.
Yep.
So just a great little moment there. But that brings us to 11 so far.
Okay.
And then the Bechdel test is a fail this week. There are no female characters that have scenes, just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's kind of separated or surrounded by people that are kidnapping them or things of that nature.
Yeah.
So fail for the Bechdel test this week. And yeah, that's... You do it for a conversation on Mortal. That was a lot of fun. I really loved this episode. Like that,
it's a good one.
In the midst of this podcast, it's like I don't rewatch Smallville episodes at all. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm just, I feel like watching some Smallville tonight. No, because I have to stay the course and just stay in chronological order outside of us doing our top 10 episodes.
Yeah.
But it's like when all this is said and done, this would be in my batch rewatch, definitely. Just,
yeah.
Just so entertaining and so well done.
Agreed.
So, a lot of fun talking about it. A lot of nostalgia, too, from our college days.
Yeah.
Setting the VCR to record Smallville.
Yeah, I know, right?
So good times. So, Lance, if people want to find you out there on the internet, where can they find you?
You can find me at Sir Lance Laster. That's what it is on all my social medias.
All right. And as for me personally, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoronZach. I'm also a host of Franchise Fatigue, a podcast about movies, franchises, sequels, remakes, when franchises get fatigued. You can find us on Twitter at UFPEarth. And finally, I'm a host of Standard Orbit, Trek FM's original series podcast. We talk about all things old and new, Captain Kirk and the Enterprise. And you can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. As for the podcast here, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Holding Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Once again, with one S. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. But stay tuned for next week. Lance and I will be back for Hidden.
That's right. Love this episode.
Another episode title not said in the episode. No one said mortal this week. No one says hidden next week.
Yeah.
I think, did somebody say hidden this week? I know this. Somebody says mortal next week.
That's correct.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Got those script pages mixed up.
Likely.
So, anyway, guys, stay tuned next week for Hidden. And until then, always hold on to Smallville.